Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by South Selects Football, helping to develop the stars of tomorrow today. And by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina. If you want to get in the real estate game, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355.
Let's say hi to Dan Clark. How are you, Clarky?
Hey, boys. How are you guys doing today?
Good, man. So, how are your holidays? How'd you spend the holidays? Did you load up on turkey and stuffing and pumpkin pie?
No, we did a little bit of lasagna and stuff like that, but I definitely gained a couple pounds over the holidays.
Lasagna, is that your go-to meal? That's not really a traditional Christmas meal.
No, you know, we just changed it up. Dad and I don't really like turkey that often. We've been deep frying them lately.
Yeah.
We just tried something different.
What'd you do for New Year's?
We actually went to Seven Oaks and did some water slides, and the kids loved it. So just had a blast doing that.
Now let me ask you: you signed a new deal. I know, mm-hmm. with some people's deals, they're not allowed to do certain things. Like, you know, you can't ride a motorcycle, you can't go hand gliding, maybe you can't go hunting. No restrictions on water sliding?
Hey, no restrictions at all. I'm safe to go down them, but I don't know if it's safe for everybody else.
Dan, talk about the new deal. How important is that for you? That's a big deal.
It's a great, you know, especially after last year, what I overcame and how it ended for us. And, yeah. You know, we definitely have unfinished business going into the season.
Yeah, talk about 2019 and talk about before the season gets going. Because a lot of people wondered if you'd even play last year after that terrible car accident. What do you remember about that accident?
You know, I remember, you know, on my way to the hospital, knowing that I would have family coming up there. Got to the hospital. Scott McHenry was there waiting with the Red Cross. And it was one of those ones that I didn't know if I'd be playing ball at the beginning of it. And then doctors cleared me, said everything was good to go. And within 24 hours, I was walking out of the hospital. And I couldn't be more blessed for that. And then you go into it to camp. I'm dealing with a hip injury that I can't really control at all. It's not like I got a broken arm walking around with a cast, but yeah. It's one of those things that I just had to overcome mentally. And then it turned into a great season for myself. Didn't finish the way we wanted to, but it's things that are building for this year coming up.
How does that affect you mentally when you're in almost a life-changing situation like that behind the wheel? How does that, you know, the next time you got into a car to drive, did that affect you?
Not really. You think about it, it was maybe 10 days after the accident. I was right back on my way to Saskatoon for camp. But I recently in November, we went up to Marcus Thigpen and I went up to his school. And, you know, there was a little bit of anxiety getting back on the road with the Red Cross and, you know, traveling a little bit more of a distance. So, and after that, you kind of just put it behind you and just roll with it.
Okay, you know, you don't remember much about the accident. Was it, you know, and I don't want to drudge up bad memories, but I guess I am, because I never heard it from you. I heard different accounts. Was it careless driving on your behalf? Did you try to make a late turn? Like, what happened there?
No, so I was, I left the school, a Viscount school, and basically what we did was, you know, I just finished a presentation with the Red Cross, got in the vehicle. I always put my seatbelt on first. I text my wife, hey, you know, I'm leaving the school. I love you so much. And then I put in my GPS the way home. Well, the way it took me, I didn't want to go. I wanted to go back to double lane. So I was on my way to double lane. I go to back out of the school. Well, first I put my cell phone in my pocket, and I don't usually do that. I leave it in the center console, and something said that they put your cell phone in your pocket. And the way out to the highway was blocked by buses. So I, you know, no big deal. I just go down the grid road, been down all the time with the Red Cross. And I looked up top left of my see through the windshield. I see the mosaic or potash. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, perfect. No big deal. Look, you know, glance to my right. Still beside the highway, glanced back to my left, and it was a sharp left turn. And I wouldn't be able to hit the brakes in time. We all know what happens when you slam on the brakes in gravel. So I was going to guide into the ditch. And when that happened, I obviously caught a rut, and it just spun the vehicle. And next thing you know, I'm slamming into the passenger side door of my wife's SUV. Roll. Paramedics said about three times they seen the vehicle roll. And in those three times, I got ejected from the vehicle. But as I'm getting ejected, I kind of come to, and I just see the bright sun. I black back out, and I'm standing beside the vehicle with the battery in between my feet on the passenger side of the SUV. And the next thing you know, I'm just kind of come to more than less. And I tap my pockets and I call my wife, and kind of the rest is history.
Wow, man, that's unreal. Dan Clark, Ryder starting center, joining us. Dan, so when something like that happens to you and you get into the season, how much does that put playing a sport for money into perspective for you?
It's one of the things that I've always dreamed about doing, and it was more about letting down the guys around me and maybe not be able to continue the dream that I was able to do for the rest of my life. But more of the mindset about getting back on the field. I don't care how anybody grades me, and that's coaches included. I put way more pressure on myself than anybody could put on me. So trying to get back into form and trying to play as fast as I could and, you know, kind of get back to the way I've been used to being playing. That's being, I'm going to maul you for 60 plus plays as, you know, physically as I can be. And it wasn't quite there in camp. And then it slowly started coming the preseason, and really wasn't until game like 2 or 3 when I felt like I started to come back. You know, I was dealing with a shoulder and, my bad hip that I was kind of trying to get over, but it was one of those ones. It was more of a mentality all season for us.
Yeah. Dan Clark, you really love this team, don't you? I'm going to give a story that your old teammates told me about you. Okay.
Uh-oh.
And you get, no, this is good. You can go into it more if you want or not, but not this time around, but the last time you were a free agent, I believe you had a chance to leave this team and go to another team. And I heard it was the Eskimos. I don't know if it was, but you were offered a better deal somewhere else, but you took less to stay in Saskatchewan. That's what other guys told me. Is that true? And really, if it is, that's kind of indicative of how much, like, why do you love this team so much?
Yeah, so in 2014, I got to play my first game as a center. And I really fell in love with being a center and enjoyed it a lot. And it gave me more freedom to kind of, you know, help out the guards or, you know, take a one-on-one block if they've got a 50 front, which is tough to do. But I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the pressure that it puts on you to make all the calls. And in 2015, I got asked, you know, by Edmonton to come be one of their starting guards. And the one thing that I said at the end of the season was I'm going to be the starting center for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And went into free agency, and I was dealing with calls as I was at a Red Cross presentation. Answered my phone. My agent was like, hey, Edmonton wants you. They're going to give you X amount of dollars. Riders want you. They're going to give you X amount of dollars. And I said, okay, give me 2 hours. I'm on my way home from Saskatoon. So he said, yeah, call me as soon as you get back. So as I was driving, I probably hit about maybe, 15 kilometers outside of Davidson. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay home no matter what. Home is where my heart is. And, you know, to be a part of this team and be, you know, continue my career with the Saskatchewan Roughriders is something I just continue to be, you know, ecstatic for every single day.
What's it mean to you to wear those colors and be representing this province as a professional football player when you grew up right here in the backyard playing minor football, playing for the Regina Thunder?
It means everything, especially for myself, going to Tom Collegiate and crossing, Argyle Bridge every single day, seeing old Taylor Field and now new Mosaic Stadium. When I go to my parents, it's one of those ones that I want to go there for work. I want to go there to have fun with my friends every day. And that's what practice is. And to relish it, it means that, is dream as big as you want, because, yeah, you can accomplish those dreams. And that's something I've done for going on 12 years now.
Yeah, a guy like Cody Fajardo who comes in, he's got that. He's like you. You had a scrape and claw from the bottom. You were on a practice roster, and that's what all the guys I talked to, McCullough, Best, all those guys, they love you. They love your tenacity. They love the fact that you're just a grinder. Cody's the same type of way. Career third down specialist. Had 68 passing attempts coming into the season. He goes, with the help of his O-line and the other weapons, goes for an MOP type of season. But just the guy that he is, how much does that make you want to block harder for him? Because he was one of the first guys on Twitter saying, I'm so happy we re-signed Clarkie.
Yeah, and you know what? That's credit to him. He's a great person, a great human. And the best thing about it is he's willing, and he's willing to put the time in with you whenever you need it. And that's something that's more than being a player. That's more being a friend in the locker room. And when it comes down to it, Cody's going to put his body on the line, as he showed at any moment in this, for this team, for this province, for anybody around him, for us to win the Grey Cup. And that's something that you want with your career quarterback.
Yeah, you're fighting through shoulder, a hip, a near-death experience, and then you look over your shoulder, and this guy's got 2 torn oblique muscles, and he's playing in the Western final. And I'll tell you what, the guy almost pulled it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that just shows that how, you know, our mindset is to being the resilient that it is in our locker room. It doesn't matter if we were down 20 points, 21 points, or, you know, it was Labor Day game-winning drive on our five-yard line. It was just the resiliency that our group had all year long.
You know what I like about Coach Dickinson, too? He's a human. And yep. I mean, he's a human. He's not. He walks out of the tunnel. He's eating an apple as the fireworks are going off. He, when you interview him, he's very transparent. Like he'll say, "No, Cody's hurt," or "No, Dan's not going to play," or "This guy needs to play better." How much do you appreciate that as a player?
You know what? It's nice to have truths in the locker room. You know, just get told the things that you want to hear. If you're having a bad day, he's going to tell you you're having a bad day, and he's always there to help you fix it. And that's the biggest thing that we have in our not only our business, but in our locker room, we have an open door policy, and his door is always open.
Now, last question, you know, what's it like now? You're going to be playing for a chance to play once again at home, 2020, hosting the Grey Cup here. And you guys spoiled the Rider fans in 2013 when the Grey Cup was won by the Riders. So everybody expects you to be in it again, which is, I think, a little bit unrealistic because it's such a tough trophy to win. But how much do you relish that pressure this year?
I love it. You know what? I don't think we'd be all training in January for anything other than go win a Grey Cup. And that's every single CFL player across the league right now. It's just to have that opportunity to win it at home is that extra, you know, icing on the cake that you'd love to be able to have in. You'd love to be able to carry it up and down Albert Street for the people to see. And for a province that loves their team so much, it's just one of those opportunities that, you know, you kind of relish in it.
Yeah, DC, thanks for this. I appreciate you taking time out. Happy New Year, and we're glad to have you back in the fold in Rider Nation.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by South Selects Football, helping to develop the stars of tomorrow today. And by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina. If you want to get in the real estate game, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355.
Let's head out and speak with Stefan Ensign. Speaking of local football guys, the guru who has developed so many quarterbacks over with the Regina Thunder. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being on. So,
show sounds exciting.
Yeah, it'll be great, man. I'll be able to highlight. We're not just going to talk pro sports. We're going to talk Regina Thunder. We're going to talk amateur football, amateur hockey, figure skating, everything. Highlight volunteers, coaches, because I don't think we promote our own. Do you agree with that? I feel like we don't promote our own enough. And I see it. And no disrespect, I love the Canadian Football League, but I see with the Canadian Football League, we've been told so many times that, you know, and you've probably heard this too, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard so many times we don't have enough Canadian talent to expand the rosters Canadian-wise. Like, we can't have that many stars. There's not that many good guys. And I don't know if we can have 10 teams in the league because we don't have enough Canadian talent. But they're going to expand the global players? We didn't have enough global guys last year that could make an impact, and now we're going to go two minimum and a maximum of 45 in the league. It doesn't make any sense to me. And rumor, and you know, humor me with this here, Stefan. Ed Ilnicki, the Heck Crichton Trophy winner from a couple of years ago, okay? Stud running back from the Alberta Golden Bears.
He's fantastic.
He doesn't have a job in the Canadian Football League, and we don't have enough Canadian talent. Come on, give me a break.
Well, it's something, I mean, and you know this just being so affiliated with Canadian football and with your son Ethan and everything that's going on there. But I know us with the Regina Thunder, we've had some great players come through, that Logan Ferland, Chris Getzlaff earlier, you know, lots of them. And I don't know, like I think they can play football, and I think people would like to watch them play. CFL seems to be, you know, I think that's what, it's the dollar that matters, and it seems like the talent is there, at least in my opinion. I'd love to see some good Canadians make some good plays.
So you've been coaching how long now? And take in your high school and amateur coaching. How long have you been coaching for?
15, 16 years for sure.
15, 16 years. So how different is it to coach today's athlete than it was maybe even 5 years ago?
It's a lot different. It's changed. I've had to really adjust, actually, in how, you know, I came up under some good coaches of Bob Frolick and Bernie Schmidt and guys like that. And the way that they coached me, it took me a while to get my own voice and understand how I wanted to conduct myself and the expectations and all of that stuff working with young athletes. And, you know, kids are different. Kids, and not in a bad way, but they won't just run through a brick wall. They got to know why they're doing it. Once they understand why, they're willing to do it. But but you have to do a good job of communicating with the kids and explaining to them, and I mean, they're not kids the level we have, but explaining to them, you know, what they need to do and how that will make them successful. I actually enjoy it quite a bit. It's let us, I think, be better offensively as a team. We're really able to expand because kids want to know what they're doing. They're really not just, here's a play, go run it. It's why and how we can adjust and what are the changes we can make and all of that.
Do you let them have input?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have to. You know, I think it would be silly for me just to tell the quarterback this is what you do, right? There is a little bit of that, I mean, within reason, but we always try to talk with our players and say, hey, do you think this will work? What do you think? What do you think? Especially the guys that have been there for a while, right? Or how can we adapt this? What will work for you? And usually the guys that have played a little bit, they have good advice. They know and have an idea that what will be successful.
Is that your strength, communication?
I hope so. I think I'm getting better at it. I don't know that it necessarily was earlier. I think when I was younger, I was a lot more just do it because I said so.
Yeah.
That's an easier way to be, but I think I'm getting a little bit better at it. I think our whole coaching staff is getting better at it.
Did you have to, and don't take this the wrong way, but did you have to, you weren't Patrick Mahomes, okay? No, not too many people are. Well, not too many people are. But did you have to be studious back when you played?
You know what? I probably wasn't enough. I loved football, but I didn't understand football. I mentioned Bernie Schmidt before. He kind of, my last year with the Rams there, I remember him saying, hey, if you want to come watch some film, come watch some film, and I'll teach you some stuff. And by then I knew that I wasn't going to be able to play. It was more just, let's see if we can get better. And then I had some great opportunities. Kyle McFetridge is the head coach at Sheldon, and he took me on, and with Greg Johnson, and they just kind of let me go, let me work and let me learn and do all that. And I had to. I don't think I'd be an offensive coordinator at any level if I wasn't willing to put in the work.
You know, you mentioned Bernie Schmidt. I don't think that guy gets enough. We talk about Gord Curry and we talk about Frank McChrystal, and we should. Those are two great coaches with the Rams. You had Rick Seaman, who was a great coach, and before he was done, he got recognized as the volunteer coach of the year nationally. And Greg Nesbitt got that trophy this year, or that award this year at the Vanier Cup. But Bernie Schmidt's a guy that, I mean, you look at yourself, great coach. You look at Mark McConkey, great coach. And you look at Mark Mueller, who we had on the show earlier, outstanding coach as well. All three guys come from the Bernie Schmidt coaching tree. This guy doesn't get enough credit for. He's forgot more about football than a lot of offensive coordinators know about.
One thing I liked about him, and Paul Dawson was another one who's with us that was with the Rams, I think, yep, very good as well. The one thing I always liked about Bernie, and it's something that I'm trying to get better at, is you got to, as a coach, you got to be week to week as much as you possibly can. So, you know, what's your best talent versus theirs, and how do we make it work, right? Rather than just trying to, you know, fit that square peg into whatever spot you want it to go, kind of thing.
Stefan,
and I think Bernie did a good job at that.
Yeah, Stefan Anson joining us here in the offensive coordinator for the Regina Thunder. Did you ever have any aspirations to do what Mark Mueller's doing and go the CFL route? Did you ever have a chance, or are you just content, not to say it's a bad thing, but you're just content coaching the Stars of tomorrow today?
Yeah, sure. I mean, everybody, I think when you're younger, especially before I had my kids and everything, you start really wanting to see if you can get paid to do things and see how that goes. I'm always looking for a challenge, and I'm not saying that down the road that's something I wouldn't be interested in, I guess, but for the next, I really like coaching the team I'm on, and I think it seems to be a challenge every week. I like the new players. I like the turnover of players that we have, and, I'm really content where I'm at. There's no doubt about that.
Have you held those winter practices in Moose Jaw yet?
We have first one on Sunday. We're excited. It should be good. All rookies and second-year guys, so let the young talent really go and see what we got.
Yeah, I've been there before, but for people that haven't been there, just walk us through that, because it's really awesome. It's out at the Yaris Center, I believe. Are you doing it out in Moose Jaw again, or where are you guys doing it?
Yeah, we're 1:30 in Moose Jaw at the Yaris Center, and it's a good facility out there. There's lots of space, big facility, and this year, we started doing this last year. It used to be that we just have the whole team plus the all the people trying out that we've invited to try out kind of go, and it was just too many people, so we've cut it down. We have rookies from all across Saskatchewan coming out to try out and see what they got. We have lots of different things. We'll run one-on-ones. We'll run a few plays. We'll go through a lot of individual drills where you get a chance to be coached by some of the best coaches in the province, and I think in the country, really. Some just great, fantastic coaches get better, and then You know, depending on how that goes, we see if we move them on to the next practice and so on and so forth, and it lets us really identify the talent, and eventually they get to go against our guys, and we'll see where that goes as well.
That's really part of the game that's changed, that off-season component. We never had that with the Rams back when I played. We did a little running with Mike Zimmerman, great track coach, but we never did that. That part has changed.
It's huge. Even the mental part of it as well. Like, I'm watching film with our quarterbacks, or starting to right away here, and breaking things down. It's the guys got to be lifting. They got to be working out. Our guys are through level 10 right now, and it's helped out. But if you don't do it, you just can't play. It's just all there is to it.
How's the quarterback position look going into this year as you try to knock off the Hilltops?
Oh, we're excited. Carter Shuchek's the guy we're looking at right now going in, and same thing. I think he's a really talented player. He's different than what we had last year in Blake Shirley. He's a little taller, a little more mobile. And we'll see, our offense will look different with him in there. And then, it's kind of a dogfight. We're bringing in more quarterbacks as well. See what happens is kind of where it's at. Best guy wins. But right now he's the leader going in. He's a smart guy, a lot of talent. I think he'll be pretty good.
Okay, last question for you. Who do you got in the Super Bowl, the San Francisco 49ers or the KC Chiefs?
Well, I'm a diehard Chiefs fan.
I know you are.
But I won't even be able to watch it. Like, when they were down 24-0 to the Texans 2 weeks ago, I had to turn off the TV, and my family nearly kicked me out of the house for some of the things they said. So, like, I'm going to do my best, but, I hope they win. That's all I can think. I just hope they win.
Well, you're me too, because I grew up with Charger football, and they do just enough to break your heart. So I'd watch the games, and they're winning. It's like, I can't watch this game, even with the Oilers hockey game now. If I designate I'm going to watch this game, they'll blow it. So I usually watch the first period, go to bed, and more times than not, they win. So that might not be a bad strategy. So
DVR it, yep.
Yeah, DVR it and watch it later. But, man, you got to watch it. They haven't been there in 50 years, dude.
I know. I'll have a stroke while I'm watching it because I'll be so upset, but that's okay.
Well, don't do that. Anyway, thanks for your time, Stefan. Good luck in the Super Bowl.
Perfect. Thanks so much for having me on.